was admiring somebody's shoes. You know, I have really nice shoes. I said, how much did those cost? And the guy said, I don't know. I'm not done wearing them yet.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a chat with Travis Price, a good friend in the industry and a true professional that him and I have a lot of parallels as far as our passion for the industry, and I think he's going to show that and talk through some of those details.
No, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I haven't known Travis as long as you, but I will tell you, the guy's got not only a lot of energy, but the thing that I like in my conversations with Travis is he's always looking to provide a solution to a problem, and to me, that's key.
As a builder, did you ever have issues with exterior doors?
Always.
As a sales rep at Mountain View, have you ever had issue with an exterior door?
Unfortunately, we've still had some of those, yeah, but we try to avoid them, and we work hard to avoid them, but... Yeah, the front door, exterior door kind of circumstances is a challenge. Presents a lot more challenges than I think people recognize up front.
The hood ornament of the house that
Absolutely.
Everyone talks about, the beauty of the, yep. the door panel. But let's dive in and have a chat with Travis and talk back, you know, the details of the front door. And maybe we can avoid some of these problems.
Huh? Absolutely. Here we go.
So what's your favorite beverage?
Black coffee.
Black coffee. Straight up, huh?
Straight up.
Yep. All right. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
This summer, we've had a good time doing Mount Rushmore. We thought that was really cool with the family. And yeah. we also did Ouray, Colorado, which was a place that's really close by that I was shocked at how beautiful it was.
Little Switzerland.
Oh, man.
I love the little ridge on the top overlooking town. The Red Mountain Pass coming out of there is just
amazing.
Really neat. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Same with Mount Rushmore. Were you there when they lit it up at night?
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really neat.
Yeah, pretty neat.
What's your favorite hobby?
I like spending time with my family. I like to ski. I like to hike. You know, all those Colorado-type things.
Yeah, you're in a good place for that.
Yeah, plenty of hiking available around here.
No doubt about it.
All right, so you got through the speed round. We got Travis Price, who is with Endura Products. Tell us about your company, and I want to peel back a few layers how I've got to really know Travis over the years in the construction industry on the supply side. And we've had a lot of good collaboration over the years of how you can do things better and different, and he's really climbed the scale in the construction industry to Endura Products. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
You know, the short answer is I'm a sales guy. So the more complicated answer is I'm a territory sales manager for Endura. And Endura basically does all the door components on the around a door panel. So all the things that people historically don't think about on a door, but all the things that matter. Your non-rot jams, your thresholds, weather stripping, astragals, multi-point locks, that kind of thing.
Perfect. To go back a few years, is Travis Price was my Milgard rep. So we rep Milgard windows and doors. And I want to kind of tell a story as far as when I first met Travis, I had actually just bought Mountain View Window Design and made a Mountain View window and door. And I was just getting the new building going. And I've always tried to represent products that are different, better and different. A lot of different people sell Milgard. I was leery about going with Milgard because a lot of it comes down to price. But then they just kept coming out with, you know, different product lines that where we kind of hang our hat on the kind of luxury market, as well as actually, you know, touring their facility where they're working on putting in their own paint booth and learning from their mistakes as far as in the past how their issues they had with painting vinyl. And Travis and I had talked a lot about that through the process. But as he says, you know, I start as a sales guy. And you know, when you hear the word sales guy, there's the salesy guys and then there's the relationship guys. And Travis from the beginning kind of came in and he was not pushy, but he came in and always represented better and different. And I'm always talking about on this show is about you got to have something that makes sense and the customer wants to hear. And he wasn't pushy. Long story short is Travis was the reason we said we better bring Milgard in, because you buy from people. And Travis was in here training, showing, and helping those different. So Travis was with Milgard and really got Milgard going here. And then our new Milgard rep, Jason, has you know, filled his shoes really well. But that's where I got to know Travis, and he was kind of he kind of started talking to me about door components you know, obviously, you know, now he's with Endura, and it's been really fun to talk through how can we change the market to be better and different. And Travis, now with Endura, you have stepped up the ladder now with Endura, right?
Right.
So now, Travis, you're running around nationally. You know, some of the questions you've asked me is, you know, how do I get customers educated on exterior doors? And that's a tough one because I think the big part of the market, like you said, when people think of doors, they think of, is it Therma-True? Is it stainable, paintable, the actual door slab? They don't think or care about the most important thing about the door sealing up. But how many people have had a door in their house that doesn't close right, doesn't seal right, you can see air through the door, all those types of things. And that's where Endura has been a components company that we talk about guests like Tyler Coombs from Conifer Gutter. And at the end of the show, I was like, well, you're a weather management company because you care to do all this stuff the right way. And Endura is the same thing for an exterior door. When I cut my teeth in this industry, we used Endura components on our exterior doors, and we use different components as well to fill in because sometimes it's that price, you know. Mm-hmm. How can you save a couple bucks on those production doors? And every time we would go down to the price point, you'd have issues down the road. And how do we educate on the art of construction for these for the production builders and the masses to see the difference of that? So that's kind of what I want to talk about today is kind of the exterior doors. And if you want to kind of say, I want to start out, Travis, by saying, what are some of the biggest reasons you see exterior doors fail?
I guess we could take one step back and just say, you know, how do most customers think about an exterior door? You know, architects and builders and everything are out there thinking about an exterior door in their head. What they're thinking about right now is a panel that swings, you know? So we start with that premise of where people generally think about a door. Now let's think about what goes wrong with them. Jams rot, paint peels, right? Seals are not adjusted, so you may see daylight. That daylight may let water in, it may let dust in, it may just be drafty. You may have a tight margin on one side that rips a door bottom, and so you have door bottoms that eventually are worn out, not doing their job, or actually letting in water again, right? You have margins or strikes that don't line up right, so you have to push really hard to throw the deadbolt, or you have to touch lightly, or everybody has this secret move to get their exterior door to work right, you know? And French doors have earned a well-earned reputation for being leakers and being problems, right? And a lot of that isn't due to the panels. It's due to how they're put together. It's due to adjusting over time. It's due to that interaction on the astragal, you know, where the bolts on the active panel or the strikes on the active panel line up with the keepers on the inactive panel, you know. And so knowing all these problems we just talked about, we didn't talk anything about a panel, you know, or what people thought about a door. And so, you know, so if you just start there to say most of the problems that people have with doors aren't on something that people generally think about with doors.
Yeah. And the challenge I would put to contractors and architects and industry partners listening to this is think about it, the fact that on the outside of the house, this needs to be able to open and close on a daily basis. But when it closes, it has to seal all the way around that. There's so many different components because you got to seal the outside, you got to seal the door panel to the frame, and then the inside, you got to figure out those details. And a lot of times people don't take the time to work out those three details that to me are some of the most critical parts of the whole house, because you got to have all that stuff right and understand how it's all going to marry into each other. And that's what Endura does, is take those components of that.
Kevin, I'll ask you a question because you've come from a production or a builder background of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
As a builder, when's the last time you thought about how the weather strip rests on the edge of the door?
Well, when you think about it, is when you have a customer call complaining because it doesn't function properly, and then after the door is set and in the frame and, you know, functioning in the house, it's an absolute pain in the neck to try to fix it.
You're right. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that nobody, or I won't say nobody, but it's not a thing that's on the forefront of builders' minds, but it's just one of these things that really matters, right? Because every manufacturer has a little different, you know, panel. Their detail on the outside is different. How do you make sure that you have, a weather management system or weather stripping or something like that that will accommodate that kind of stuff, whether you're using, you know, a Plasprol panel, a Therma-True panel, a Masonite panel, whatever the case could be. You know, we need to make solutions that work with all those kind of things.
Travis, what would you say are the best measures to take to get the exterior door to either function more properly or overall extend the life of that unit?
I would say the most important thing is to make sure that you have a coherent specification from the beginning, right? And so you know what you're building before you just start to build it. And so you know exactly, based on your panel length and based on all that kind of thing, that these people that are putting together your doors are thinking about what they're doing before they're doing it, right? And so your overall jam leg is appropriate for the right margins on the top, the bottom, the strike, the hinges. And then from there, back into what components do I need to make this door perform like I need it to, you know? Should I use a composite sill? Is these jams never rotting? Is that important to me? You know, probably in most cases, yes. Is security a big factor? Is deflection something I want to deal with? And then building in those components, whether it be a multi-point lock, whether it's a unique astragal situation or something like that, to say, we're going to put this all together and we can know and we can test and we can verify these results, you know? And that's the one thing that I think gets overlooked, is that this, especially in the pre-hanging of a door, we see a lot in our company of customers that say, we've just always done it this way. I don't know why, or I do know why, but I don't have the time to explain it to you, but this is just what we do. And not go through all the, you know, all the work.
When you say we, the door hanger.
The door hanger. And maybe that's worth explaining.
So that's part of, I think you need to peel back that layer and understand how the door industry works. Because we say that's a big challenge you have as Endura, because the end user doesn't know what Endura is. But a door shop sure knows what Endura is. And it's a matter of, do they want to pay, you know, the upcharge to do the right composite frames or whatever brands to do things the right way. Because the thing I'd want to say about this is that, you know, builders don't think about this stuff on a regular basis. And if I were to call you out and you raise your hand, if you ever had a callback on a door that wasn't sealing right, or have you ever set a door and had to go back and jam, you know, hinges and shims and stuff after the fact, and you spend all this time after the fact, and you know you're doing something to adjust something that wasn't done right. The first time. And I say, get it right on paper the first time and have a team and collaboration to where if there is an issue, you have a team of people to go back to. And that's what a company like Endura or a components company can help with, that the industry doesn't even think about those kinds of things. So where you say in the run, you can specify as an architect or a contractor to CYA yourself, and it's minimal more. And then a builder that wants to build a reputation, you explain that. So the key is educating all the way down the line from the manufacturer, may it be Therma-True, Masonite, whatever, who's building these door panels, to the door shop that's taking all these components, the Endura parts and whatever parts they're putting to pre-hang this, to the builder, that then the builder half the time cuts all those corners in those middle points. And then it's the homeowner 2 years later calling us up and say, I've got this new house and the exterior doors don't work.
Right.
And actually the minimal amount more can actually become less, because when you think of the cost of coming back and servicing that exterior door, the cost of doing that is going to probably be more than if you just did it right in the first place.
What do you guys think a service on a door costs?
So Mountain View, our billable rate is $115 an hour. And so you're paying the trip charge to go out there, plus the time to take the door off, fix it. Usually if the door's in bad shape and you have to replace it, then you got to repaint it and restain it. If it's a disaster, how they set it, there's times you actually have to pull the whole door out and retrim it and all that stuff. So I would say the average door that was installed improperly, minimum $350. If you have to put a new door and reinstall it, it can be triple to four times we actually paid for the original door, would be the answer I'd give you for that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And as we try to understand service costs and things like that, we're finding all over the board that we get different answers. And I think a lot of it is people, some customers maybe aren't as close to their costs as you guys are. But we think that very, very conservatively that service costs $1 a minute easy. You know, and so
and the key is who pays for it, because everyone points the finger when it gets to, you said, what's the cost for a service call? That service call is a disaster for everybody. Everybody's ticked off at that point. Because I paid all this money for these doors, and they have a limited lifetime warranty. What do you mean this is this, and pointing the finger to the builder, to the supplier, to the homeowner, and it just becomes this disaster, too.
And you mentioned something on, you know, the total cost of, you know, the price versus cost versus, and I would say value, right? And so I heard something that I thought was pretty good the other day, is someone was admiring somebody's shoes, you know, have really nice shoes. I said, how much did those cost? And the guy said, I don't know, I'm not done wearing them yet. and it kind of got to price and cost aren't the same thing. And so I thought that that's, you know, where we need to focus is where we can create the most value. You know what I mean? Not necessarily the lowest price, not necessarily the race to the bottom like everybody wants to get to, but where can you create the most value and the best total cost of ownership?
Let's go back for a second, Travis. Talk a little bit more about some of those components that you touched on early on. I mean, you've got thresholds that you deal with that are adjustable that have different values. You have different types of weather strip, and then, you know, the locking systems and so forth. So, and maybe I've missed some there, obviously, but what are the kinds of advantages of some of the components that can help alleviate some of these problems up front?
Well, so the big thing that we see in Denver, which has been a real stubborn market in a lot of ways, is we have a market that says that we still need to do oak adjustable sills, you know? And so let's talk about
explain an oak adjustable sill, because I think a lot of people don't even understand sills.
Right, I think you're right. So an oak adjustable sill is, you know, they've been around for a long time, you know, 35 years, and it's got an oak cap with screws in it that rises and lowers. That most customers don't know whether they rise or lower. They think that those screws are actually what's holding it to the subfloor. And then underneath that aluminum deck is a chunk of some sort of wood substrate, whether it be pine, whether it be oak or whatever, right? And so people say, well, I've used that for 30 years.
And extruded metal holds that all together.
Yeah. And so if we think about that, that's been around for a long time. What's changed in how people build houses in the last 40 years, right? A lot. So let's talk about sill pans. Most installs have a sill pan now, right? Should have a sill pan.
Should. Let's say should. Yeah.
We have to, every time it's a battle to get someone to pay to use a sill pan, because we're like, I feel like sometimes we feel like we're the only guy out there that even uses a sill pan. Most people don't even know what it is. A flex wrap maybe be a premium for them.
Well, that's kind of a unique situation, because most of the door manufacturers require it as a part of their warranty, and yet it's not supplied as a part of the door package. So it's an item that needs to be addressed and needs to be handled. And so, as like Devin described, I mean, we take the initiative to make sure that's taken care of, whether we're installing it or somebody else is installing it, that it's included. Yep.
So knowing that a sill pan should be used, and it's becoming more and more common, like you said, on a lot of door systems, it's a requirement. If a sill pan, and I guess we should explain what a sill pan is. A sill pan is something that sits, and you can maybe explain this better, Devin, but a sill pan is something that sits on the subfloor, is not, and basically allows water to go under the sill and out the house. Yep. So basically what it is it's a fairly cheap insurance policy. Yeah. So if something goes wrong,
it's basically a lip of metal that allows the water to go out instead of into the house at the back of the door.
Yeah, instead of going underneath the threshold into the house.
Yeah.
Or under the carpet or
think
under
about,
the...
Think about details like drip cap, like even on the cheapest production build, you're seeing the metal drip cap running around the whole house on siding, but yet you're not going to put it under the front door of the house. It's kind of that same concept. It's the water. Yep. Water will run and make its way out. Why not do the best you can to get it to go out the house instead of into your wood floor or whatever, into the house?
Yeah, and so to go back to our oak sill that's now sitting in a sill pan, if that sill pan is doing exactly what we want it to, you're going to be running water right over a piece of wood on that sill. That's eventually going to swell. That swell is eventually going to rot. You may have mold problems, all that other thing. And it's just something that it wasn't available 30 years ago. There's something better. Put composite under there. Put something that won't rot.
Yeah, and that wood, that piece of oak, that sill is really easy to replace, right?
Right.
No.
It's basically impossible to replace the way the door industry and the pre-hanging, how they put doors together.
So people will tell you that it's impossible, and almost functionally it is. So the way that most of those oak risers are put into that, there's T-nuts right into the substrate. And so you have to line those up exactly, and you know how that goes.
Well, and I'm referring to the piece of wood underneath the threshold as
well. Oh, it's impossible.
You can't replace this stuff. So it's not a matter of if, it's when it fails. If you do the other steps right and you use that threshold, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
I mean, you're putting two things together that are guaranteed to fail, and that's a shame. In the art of construction, that's a standard thing for our industry.
Right.
When you really think about it, it's a shame. And it's not like this is once in a while. This is 9 out of 10 doors is how it's done.
Right.
In Colorado.
Right.
Well,
where we have
all these weather issues.
All doors are important. You know, all exterior doors have the same level of importance, with the exception of the fact when you consider cost, your front entry door system can cost anywhere from $3,000 to $15,000. So might as well protect it properly.
Yeah, and so we've only just talked about just one little spot on the sill, right? And so if we were to go over to, get to the top of the sill where people are used to seeing it, right?
But the solution for the threshold to make is a composite. That you can put in a bucket of water. And
exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then so that's the good place to start. Make sure you have a composite substrate. If you go to the cap, the thing that rises and lowers and things like that, you want to make sure that you have one that's easily adjustable. Or, ideally, we've got some, at Enduro, we're always
this
coming
really
out with new
cool
products. We have one that self-adjusts. And so basically that you don't have to do anything. And so the only thing that we want people to adjust is their expectations of their exterior doors.
And you have some information on that we can put in the show notes for people to come check this out, because this automatically adjusts every time to the door, right?
It
pushes up and down into there, versus the whole doors are going to move and adjust, especially wood doors, to where you set it. How many times as a builder have you set that door, it works good, then you get a call saying there's a gap under my door? Well, it's because the damn wood door moves, right? So with the wood substrate, if you don't do a composite threshold. So this helps fluctuate that between where the door slab meets the threshold.
And
key detail.
Exactly right. And you think about all the things that that can help with, and the way that that's designed, it's got some really unique features that it can help with bad subfloors, bad openings. And so if you've got a subfloor that's kind of smiling or frowning, you're going to be compressed on the side and then up in the middle. Which is a really hard thing to do on even the best adjustable caps.
Well, and hopefully you're a good install, or even if your subfloor is bad, you're shimming and you're leveling that out and accommodating for the details, like setting your door up high enough to where when the door swings out, it's high enough where it doesn't hit the rug on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And those details of installing the door, it doesn't matter how good a door you have. At the end of the day, it's all about as good as the installer.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of an industry trend that we see a lot of, is components are getting better and better and better, and installs, as a rule, are getting more poor and more poor and more poor. And so the onus is on component manufacturers to, let's figure out things to help with this, whether we're talking about windows or doors or whatever, because labor, just the labor pool and the pool that your customers and you and me and everybody else, the talent pool that we're pulling from labor is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
And language barriers and all this other stuff out there in the trades, I got to tell this story about yesterday. We were on a job site, and the installers, we weren't quite sure if they were going to install these windows the right way, which would apply the same way on the doors, right? So I was like, we're going to do Windows 101. So it was one of my new sales reps, Adam, because I called him and said, you good on this? He goes, I don't want to lead. So I went out there, and I said, all right, guys, we got 5 of these awning windows around this corner here. I'm going to install the first one, and I want you guys to watch and do the next one. And we talked about this on a show once about how they did a video and translated into Spanish, and the guys watched it, and the builder was amazed how he went back and how everything was done exactly.
Yep.
They can't comprehend all these, trying to do the language gap. So I'm installing this, doing this stuff, and you know, there was like 6 installers on the site, and they're watching me, and I'm doing all the AMA stuff, cutting back the house wrap and flashing and seal pan, all the stuff that you got to do on a window. And I step back, I look back, and these guys start doing every single step, and I had never seen them do it that way before. And this was kind of like, be careful on this job site. You know, I've heard this builder has issues. Well, it's because the builder didn't educate his guys. So right. I just went out there. Literally took me 15 minutes to go and help show that. And then when you're actually doing the work as the supplier showing them, it was amazing how they started going around. And I left there a half hour later, and the peace of mind I had as a supplier, but why not as a builder and an educator mm-hmm. take that step for all these components and be an educator to your team on the job site? That's what your job should be as a general contractor, and even before that, as an architect, to understand these components to spec it right on paper. Those two key details will fix so many problems on the back end.
Well, and it kind of dovetails off of what you said earlier, Travis, in terms of the door hangers. I mean, they'll tell you they've been doing it for 20, 30 years, and the reality is a lot of times they've been doing it wrong for 20 or 30 years, and we run into that frequently with doors and windows where we're trying to show that to a general contractor, and they want us out of the way. Look, I don't need your help, but the reality is, just like doors are an issue, the same thing with windows later. A leaky system is not something easily fixable and or inexpensive to fix. And the upfront education or the upfront willingness to try to do things right, like you're talking about, to me is worth its weight in gold.
Right. And it's getting to where customers see the value in that kind of stuff. Because it's
definitely the homeowner.
Yeah.
You know, and on that job, the homeowner, this was a remodel, so the homeowner was there watching this like a hawk, and the homeowner was an engineer, I learned.
Mm-hmm.
So
all the details.
That saved, talk about protecting the builder and protecting me as a supplier. And I like when you say the manufacturers are wanting to get much more involved. You as a manufacturer, when I tell this story, you have the peace of mind to know I'm hanging my hat with the right supplier.
That's right.
And the builder, because it's every step along the way, and we should probably continue to educate our customers on the door industry, how fragmented that it is from all these different manufacturers to the door shop, to the builder, to the end user, and how it gets pointed and how that whole thing works.
Yeah, I'm not sure that a lot of homeowners for sure, or even a lot of, you know, medium to, you know, smaller builders understand the whole process for a standard pre-hung door. Yeah.
And it's different places in the country.
Right.
You know, I know Therma-Tru now has their own whole component, their whole system, and you could pick that apart as well at
sure.
certain parts. And then, you know, in Colorado, there is the whole door shop, but I know a lot of times on the East Coast, it's the whole way through. So
right.
there's different places in the country, but it's just very fragmented
mm-hmm.
throughout the country, and you could probably elaborate on that as you have now been traveling all over the place representing Endura and trying to get those components through all these different channels from
mm-hmm.
one step to two step to all these different models of how does that exterior door end up with the end user.
Right. You know, and I think it's certainly different by market, and it's, you know, the one thing that's been a real challenge is learning all the different construction methods by market. You know, so a construction method in, you know, Southern California is quite a bit different than in Colorado. And the way that people get their doors is also different in both those places. And so it's trying to find that sweet spot.
Explain that. How do you get a door in Colorado and how do you get a door in California?
So in Colorado,
and how do they get installed? I think that'd be good for people to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So in Colorado, what we're starting to see is a lot of, you know, what I would call one-step installed sales. And so it's a lot of turnkey type stuff. And I think you guys do some of that stuff to where they say, I just need the door. I need you guys to install it. I need you guys to put the hardware on it or whatever the case could be. And so you basically, you or a partnership will get a door panel, will get all the pieces, put them together, and then your crews will come out and install that door into the opening, make sure it's good, and then move on your way.
Yeah.
In Southern California, it is completely turned on its head, and there are things called trim shops. And what happens in Southern California is a builder says, I need a door. So someone will come out at some point and put a three-sided jamb up. No panel, nothing, right? And then they'll put a dunnage door in there. No door bottom, no weather strip, anything. And at some point, they'll order a panel and hope that it fits, right? That panel will go in, and then after the fact, a thing called a weather stripper will come in, and they will drop a sill in, and they will put weather strip in the kerf, you know, and then they will, you know, weather, put a door bottom on, usually an aluminum door shoe, and then they'll make sure it works. The reality, it doesn't work most of the time, and so what they'll have to do is trim the door to work because those jams have done weird things. That panel might not be exactly what they thought was going to be when they first put in the house. And it was all to, and basically this is all to avoid construction damage because there's so much stucco in Southern California. The reality is that that weather stripping and that door drop-in and door shoe and everything happens whenever it's convenient for the weather stripper. And so you're not really, one house may be avoiding the construction damage, but the two and three down, you know, right next to it that aren't quite ready.
He's going to show up and schedule and do all three of them.
He's going to do all three of them, whether they're mudding or not, you know?
See, that's what I love to hear, different models and the whole art of construction. We want to educate people to give different ways and views to do, because to me the key to having a good door is to set to the reveal, square, level, and plumb. And you got the reveal, what I mean is the door slab to the door frame on an exterior, or the door jam on an interior. That's, those are two key different things. A frame is an exterior with weather strip and a sill. A jam is interior that does not have those components.
Right.
But if you set that door slab to the door frame and have a perfect reveal where the weather strip, and you secure that to where the frame can't move, because that's the other thing in construction, that whole building's moving and shaking, and again, robbing Peter to pay Paul, the whole not get damaged, but then the doors, you know, doesn't work.
Yeah.
That defeats the purpose.
I guess they're lucky it doesn't rain very often.
So let's talk double doors, because I think exterior double doors have a really bad rap for themselves, and I, quite frankly, don't like to sell them for most manufacturers as well, because what they call the T-Astral is your, in that, you know, to educate people on a T-Astral is you got to have that on your inactive panel, and that's what your active panel, the strike, that's what it locks up against, but that form of a T with your weather strip is what's sealing the center point of that door,
right?
So tell us about some things that you could do to do that better and different and last longer.
Yeah, so, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is that the French doors, for the most part, have earned a reputation for being leakers, and it's generally due to a couple things. It's due to deflection at the top, and it, when we talk about deflection, that means that, especially out here, when you're seeing a lot of eight-foot doors, we generally have between a 34 and a 36-inch crossbore, right, in this neck of the woods. And so if you have, if your deadbolt is 39 inches from the floor, that means you have a whole lot of door up above that's going to start to, that's going to start to stray away from the deadbolt itself. So that's one area where we start to see a lot of problems with French doors, is just that door deflecting from itself and deflecting from the other doors. And especially in Colorado here, where we're seeing some architecture changes, but we're still seeing a lot of very, very exposed doors, you know. And we get a lot of direct sunlight and hot, you know, hot UV things. So
what do you mean by exposed doors?
Not a lot of overhang, that kind of thing.
So architecturally, exterior doors, when you have a huge overhang, we almost never have problems with exterior doors. If there's no overhang, we almost always have a problem with exterior doors.
Right, and, you know, and you see the construction here, and you know you see a lot of 12-inch overhangs and things like that. And what that does is that's going to, especially, you know, when you really go cheap and you have a pair of steel double doors that get, you know, that someone paints black and they get afternoon sun, those things are going to want to take a thermal set, because that outside of that door is 130, 140 degrees, the inside of that door is, you know, 75.
Yeah.
And so that,
running your AC and pumping all the moisture.
Yeah.
And all the, yeah.
Yeah. And so that door wants to deflect and wants to move, wants to do weird things. So that those problems are just compounded on a double door. And so on a double door, what we have to think
of, single doors, the door is going to move too. It's just,
that's right.
It's just you don't have a full jam that it's sealing against. You have that T-Astral.
That's right. And on, on a double door and on big units, on single doors, people are usually a little more accustomed to putting in multi-point locks, which is kind of the solution for deflection.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do multi-point locks. But on these big patio doors, generally these aren't the showpieces that the front door is, right? And so people aren't going to spend the $1,500, $2,000 for a multi-point locking system on that patio door, but they still want a big 8-foot patio door. And so what Endura started to come up with is, hey, how do we incorporate a multi-point feature into the Astragal itself? And so basically we've come up with what we call a multi-point Astragal, and it's a multi-point locking system that's built 100% into the T-Astragal. And how that works is any deadbolt, so it doesn't take special hardware, any deadbolt will hit an actuator and it will throw pawls on the Astragal and grab onto the active door. In addition to that, I mean, it has all the features that the Ultimate Astragal has, where basically it has a ceiling floating boot, and so you're not dragging a rubber boot over the header and the sill. So you're not doing any of that dragging or any of that long-term wear. Is you have a floating boot that seals up and seals good every time at the bolts on the sill and the head, which is the other part that people just have a really hard time sealing up on typical patio units.
A policy to where in the T-Astragal kind of has that three-point versus a door shop, a typical three-point hardware, if they add in, it's routering out the whole door, and it's very labor-intensive.
That's right.
And it's a whole mechanism that's, first off, expensive and the labor to put in there. And then you also have to do special trim kits or handles that you see. So that's where you say that extra $1,500. Why is it so much money? Is because it's all the labor of machining it versus just drilling a standard hole through the door. And that's why it ends up being just a standard old double bore, because the door shops have machinery that takes the door in literally 5 seconds does that, versus when you switch over to a three-point hardware, it's a couple hours of work with setting up a jig and routering it all out in different mechanisms or different. You need different jigs for that. So just to paint the picture to understand why that cost differentiation is so much different, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
And then also those trim kits are more specialized to what that mechanism is. And then you lack sometimes on what options you have as far as aesthetics and hardware, because that trim kit only has to fit into that special hardware versus the old double bore. Everybody in the world makes those, so you're almost limitless with options. So I think that's the challenge us as a supplier to the manufacturer, like Endura, to the door shop, to the end user, is cost justification, but also the design elements that go into that.
Yeah, and that's something that I don't think that we key in enough on. And to your point, you know, the multi-point locks are expensive, but I think you make a good point that your customers, if they decide to go that way, they're not getting bamboozled. You know, there's more cost to that. The design element that you speak about, it's really a big deal that these guys on, you know, that multi-point Astragal, that you can have that hardware match the rest of the house. Because you and I have seen it a whole bunch of times. How many times has something gone sideways that you thought was going to be perfect because they didn't have the hardware they needed?
Right.
You know?
And when you're thinking your exterior doors, you're always thinking about the builder, and everybody is thinking about sealing up the exterior of the home. And then 2 months, 2 years later, depending on what the scope of the work is, then you're putting the hardware on and they say, well, wait, why doesn't that match the rest of the hardware? Well, this is an exterior door and you can't get that hardware. And then the pointing of the so there's this education process that we as a supplier that's real challenging. So at Mountain View, the way we choose to do it, is that's where we talk interior hardware when we're talking the exterior doors. And that's, I think, the beauty of working with a supplier that takes on a few components but takes on everything from those few components. So specialized shops like Mondo and Endura that does windows, doors, and hardware, and that's all we do, but we do it really well so that we can educate you to say, well, you might want to go this route on the interior hardware because these are your options if you're going to do these exterior doors and blend all those families together.
Right.
What kind of options do you guys have with your three-point hardware on trim kits?
So we're that's something that we're growing right now, and so we have basically all our W&F line, which you're familiar with, right? So,
well, I am, but so that's the other part of the door industry, is all these, the big keep getting bigger, right?
Right.
So Endura bought W&F.
So we acquired W&F about 3.5 years ago, and we kept everything that we thought was really good about WNF, which is and basically kept Trilinium, the Trilinium multi-point locks. And what's to give you guys an overview of what that is, it's basically a standard American locking system that when you turn that thumb turn, it turns to three deadbolts, you know, at the top, at the middle, and at the bottom of the door. And you have three strikes that are always out, and so that's going to help with the deflection and the things that we talked about before, even when that door is unlocked. Now, when you lock that door, those turn into one-inch deadbolts. And so you have, you know, superior security, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, as far as functionality for trim, it's, you know, we've got a full line of our own trim. We have a line that works, MTEC has a compatible configuration. So that opens up the whole MTEC catalog and capabilities. And then for the, you know, the high-end custom-type stuff, Rocky Mountain Hardware is also compatible with it. And so that's where we get into some really fun, really, you know, unique jobs.
Yeah. And that's where Endura has partnered with Mountain Window and Door, and they put in, you know, with our custom door shop, they put in the Trilinium lock in a display on a 2 1/4 thick door with all that stuff in our showroom. So that's where you want to, contractors and architects listen to this, you want to partner with someone locally, because it's very hard to understand what you just said there when we understand and recognize you as a builder have to make all, I mean, we're just talking about the lock on a door. You're thinking the whole house and you have a timeline and a budget and all the stuff to get it done. Work with somebody that gets it and understands and wants to educate. Send your homeowner in and then just educate your supplier, like Mountain View and Endura, to say, hey, cost plus 10, or don't talk pricing, or this is open book, or just educate your supplier that really wants to look out for your best interests. Send the, if you know, if it's a pre-sold situation, send them in and we'll show them those better and different options. And then it's just a matter, especially if you're doing a cost plus job, because once you point that out to them, they will be thankful, and then you've protected yourself to where if they go back down to that double board, double door that doesn't work, you've done your job to educate them to step up to the best product.
So, Kevin, what has been, when you have customers or architects or homeowners come in the showroom, what, you know, you guys are very lucky in the showroom that you've built is a real, you know, a real feature for you guys and a real innovation, you know, compared to other showrooms that are here. What's been the feedback for customers when they can put their hands on all these, you know, Anderson windows or Trilinium locks or all that kind of stuff? You know, have you noticed a big difference for let me show you, touch it, feel it?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's you know, when people go through the process, whether they're a builder or particularly as a homeowner, going through all the many choices that you have and decisions you have to make in a home, anything that helps move that ball forward a little bit helps tremendously, because when you can see it, when you can operate it, when you can open it, close it, see what the differences are, then you can say, okay, well, I'm willing to make that move to have the better level of quality for what I'm looking for. And it does make a huge difference. I mean, people can, once they see it, once they can understand it, then they can make an informed decision. And really, at any level, regardless of what they want to do, that gives them the opportunity to do it.
Right.
And one of my call to actions would be a company like Endura is to make marketing pieces for an interactive showroom like we have that explains these pieces and these components behind there, so that on the display, you put that next to the display, silent sellers, whatever you want to call them, or if I have training wheels for my sales team, if there's a newer sales rep, they're going to be a lot more comfortable, and same with the customer can be reading that and really thought through the critical path on an exterior door. So that would be something I think would be add a lot of value that I'm seeing manufacturers like Anderson, and you know, when they say the manufacturer's getting more involved in install, it's setting up the critical path for the end result to be to work that much better.
And a first-hand example of that would be how you just described the operation of the thumb turn, the how simple it is. You turn what would typically be the deadbolt thumb handle, you turn it, and then you can see the locking points that you just described happen, whereas you don't have to lift. And we can show them the difference with a different type of door system where you've got to lift the handle and it's very complicated and you have to have an engineering degree to operate the door. Most people don't like that.
Right.
You know, hey, it works great. Well, yeah, my mother-in-law tripped or fell or, you know, couldn't get out the door. Well, this shows them, here's all you need to do. Turn that. Can you do that? Yeah, that's what I like.
So we've talked a little
ease
bit about
operation.
My
absolutely
right. Intuitive, you know, and that's one thing that's really been a challenge for us to innovate, but keep everything, you know, to innovate, but keep it simple, you know? And so that's something that's really important because, you know, we talked a little bit about my past life. I sold a lot of those multi-points that you talked about, mm-hmm. up on the handle with the thumb turn that now you're engaged. Now you can do this, you know? And so every time I'd sell one of those doors, I would make it a point to say, when is this delivering? Because I'm going out there to teach them how to lock their door. Because that's just how it was. And that was a real nice change to come to Endura because I could say, lock it like you lock everything else.
And people that have owned those types of door systems where you have to do all those different maneuvers like you're an airline pilot, you know, and you're working the rudder with the feet pedals and stuff, they don't like that.
Right.
And they're looking for an alternative that's simple, easy, yet gives them that same multi-point connection for all the reasons that you described. And once it's easily operatable, it's like, okay, I'm in.
Right.
And manufacturer reps and people listening to this show, we actually put those displays in to show, to sell against those type of hardware.
Oh, absolutely.
At Mountain View because you nailed it. When a customer has had one of those doors and you show them a better and different way, they don't want anything to do with that other door.
Yeah.
And
because
the alternative,
it's the ease of use.
Right. And the alternative is for people that haven't had that bad experience, the people that had the bad experience already know they don't want that. For the people that don't know one way or the other, we can show them the two different systems and say, which do you like? And they will always go to the easily operable system because it makes sense.
Right.
So we've talked through so many different components. What I want to do to kind of recap this, Travis, is I want you to walk through a front door and go through a door panel from the bottom to the top and talk through your ideal exterior door.
Okay. So let's start on the bottom. So if we were to start right there, would stop right at the seal pan. Put a seal pan in there. That's a cheap insurance policy, right? Let's go one step up to a full composite sill with a self-adjusting cap so we don't have anything to ever have to adjust for the lifetime of that door, right? Then we go to the jams. We want a jam that's going to be long-term, non-rot, you know, that's going to hold up forever. So that would be some sort of, you know, like my Frame Saver or you know, various other products. You want something that's not going to rot, that's going to inhibit paint peel, that's going to inhibit insect damage, all that kind of stuff. Then you're going to, you obviously, a quality panel, right? And there's, people will have their own decisions on panels based on style, based on materials, all that kind of thing, right? Then you'd go the weather stripping. You want a weather stripping that's going to interact perfectly with the edge of that door in a specification, you know, cut to a specification that you're going to have the good margins, reveals all the way around. On the other side of that, you want some sort of locking mechanism, multi-point lock that's going to help with deflection, you know, give you a lifetime of a good operation on that door.
And I would presume at the same time the best method of doing all that is to have it pre-hung in a shop environment as opposed to the way you described the Southern California trend.
Yeah, and, you know, the Southern California thing is pretty specific, something that we're working to, we've got some solutions out there that we think are going to help with that kind of stuff, you know, and as we get closer on that, we'll certainly talk about that. But construction damage, unfortunately, isn't going away. And so we have to deal with some of that stuff going forward. But yeah, I would much prefer something in a controlled environment that's easily repeatable.
That's set up to jigs and done it.
Repeatable
standards,
exactly.
And specs.
Yep.
And then get, you know, sill covers and protection measures, you know, and protect your job site. That's your job as a general contractor,
yep.
Is to work channels and, you know, extension cords and all those things is to, while you're working on the house, to, if cords and people are going to be going in and out, is to protect that with whatever makes sense on the door system.
Right.
Well, you take the door bottom off and put cardboard over it and
yep.
Do different things during construction or temp, you know, have your supplier give you a temp door, you know, if a temp door that's cut down low or cut off and you have cardboard and protecting that
right.
System during construction, you're going to minimize that damage as well as protect it for the long term.
Well, and the two things that are always important are time and money, right? I think most people would agree that those are important ingredients. But just like you described, Devin, in terms of the 15 minutes it took for your crew to look at how to install those windows properly, is a lot less time than it's going to take to fix those. And when you look at it from the standpoint of cost, it's the same way. Protecting the environment is not that hard, doesn't take that long. It takes a little bit of extra thinking and a little bit of extra strategy. But the reality is all that can be protected for almost no cost and no time, and it'll save both at the other end.
Right. Yeah, the alternative to that solution was if I wouldn't have done that, you could have water coming in the house, and it may be 2-3 years from now that you start seeing rot, and then it's tearing out the whole wall, or even short term, if they didn't install the windows right, square level and plumb, and you go out there and it's trimmed out, then you can't fix stupid sometimes. Yeah. You know, that's
well, and we talked about, you know, let's step through our ideal and we step through what's ideal, you know. What happens, and we can talk more about this offline. What really happens is right now if you get there, it may or may not have a sill pan. The sill is whatever their door hanger tells them they need to use. The jams or whatever's in the shop, right? And if there's an issue, you know, then what do they do? They end up going, oh, I see some daylight. Let's put thicker weather strip. Oh, this bottom margin is way too big. Do you have a bigger door bottom?
Right.
You know, and you're just stacking components.
You're putting Band-Aids onto it.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And a whole other conversation for another show is what sealants you use to protect that whole system. Because, you know, you're talking about different, you know, dry boots and gaskets and all this stuff of Endura's components, but you also have all these weather barriers pulling around the ideal door you're talking about. So the fenestration industry is, and the AMA certification is key details to understand how that all marries together, because you could have a composite door bottom, but yet if you didn't seal around the door and water's coming right into your 2x4 and your wall structure and coming right around that door, well, you just defeated you're missing a whole another step there. So it's getting all the details right, which when you peel back the layers, our industry's pretty complicated. And you can make it way more complicated if you don't get it right on paper and have industry partners that you pay just a little bit more. And it's almost the wrong word to use. It's like the value you get saves you money down the road by using a company with like Endura and people that truly care like Travis that's built himself.
Well, and here's another thing that I was thinking about this morning, because we hear this all the time. You know, we see a lot of spec building out there and a lot of that sort of activity where there's a short-term mentality in terms of the ramifications of whatever you're doing. I can tell you from personal experience, we never took that approach. We always were looking for the long term, but we've been sued 3 times for construction defect litigation. I can tell you that doesn't go away after 12 months. That lasts for, I don't know what the statutes are here in Colorado, but I know in Nevada they were over 10 years. So the reality is that never goes away. So you might as well spend a couple of minutes early on and a couple of extra bucks early on to save both time and money in the long run, because it will come back to haunt you.
And it's like you said at the beginning when someone asked you, heard someone say, how much do your shoes cost? And he said, I don't know, I'm not done wearing them out yet, you know, I haven't worn them out yet. And I think that's a perfect parallel to when you talk a company like Endura. Well, what's the value of your return on investment in Endura? I don't know, because I haven't had an Endura or a good door wear out yet.
Right.
But I do know the other side of the fence is when you cut corners and do it half-ass, you will have problems. So to kind of leave, you know, as a learning organization in the art of construction, what's something to leave behind and kind of in closing for our listeners, Travis?
I guess what I'd leave behind is, you know, think about things that you generally don't think about on your houses and figure out what works for you. You know, whether it's door components or whether it's, you know, we talked just a second ago about moisture barriers or things like that. These things matter, you know. And so I know that kitchens and there's a lot of really sexy things about building a house. There's some really important things that I think is worth getting a ancillary education on. And there's lots of people at Mountain View. There's lots of suppliers that are willing to get to give that education. And so, you know, let's take some time. Let's make this industry better, and let's learn together.
Well, that's a good point when you think about the fact that a lot of the components might not be all that glitzy and glamorous yet. At the same time, getting those components right will help protect the glitzy and glamorous. You know, if you've got African mahogany wood floors or something, I mean, it's going to be pretty expensive to repair those if water's coming under the door.
It's not very glitzy or glamorous when, you know, your super high-end entry system floor that you put in with this mosaic tile and moisture's coming up and ruining the grout lines in between.
And it will happen.
No doubt about it. So, that would be my leap behind is, you know, these things matter. Let's let's raise the bar on construction all the way around.
Travis, what was the most unique construction project that you were involved in over the last, say, 12 months?
Well, you know, I'm in kind of a unique situation from a lot of the guests that you have, is that I don't get to a ton of, you know, I'm at construction sites for a very short period of time, mm-hmm. to look at a very short specific thing, you know. But I will say that one thing that's been really telling to me is getting out to jobs and seeing how these band-aids that people have put in place over, you know, I was in Southern California looking at a job site, and I saw that there was a big margin at the bottom of a French door. I mean, a big margin, like a mouse margin. And so I thought, you know, rather, how are they going to deal with this? You know, came back, you know, saw one with another, the similar thing. What was their solution? Is they took corner pads and stacked them on top of one another, on top of one another. And I'm like, that is the worst way I could have thought to deal with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And just in my fairly new role to go all over the Western United States is just seeing how different places deal with different problems. You see some people deal with it right, and you see some people that choose to go another way.
So you gave the mouse story, but is there another one as far as in the past 12 months, the most challenging project that you've had to walk on job site?
As far as a job site, I can't. There's lots of challenging things that come up, but I one thing that I've been challenged with lately is with my sales team is let's think about selling things a different way, and let's deal with creating this value and creating opportunities for customers and not just coming in and saying, I've got something, do you like it? I've got something, do you like it? So, you know, I'm really challenging my sales guys to think about selling different. And, you know how I sell, and you know I know how you sell, and we get along pretty well like that. But it's been a real challenge for me. I've got four sales guys to get to say, we're going to look at things a different way. We're not going to ask them to take anything on. We're going to get our butts out in the field. We're going to create a case, and we're going to bring them an opportunity. You know, because I think manufacturers have got a kind of a well-earned reputation for, hey, will you take on this product? Will you take on this product? And can you show me your customers? Can I ride along with you? And, you know, and I think that we want to do things a little different to say, let's bring leads to our customers, right? Or let's go get some field feedback from builders on this and then say, you sell to builders. Let me tell you what they said. Or, you know, or to a distributor or whatever. Hey, I've talked to these dealers. This is their feedback. You know, this may cost you $10 more, but all the feedback that I've gotten from your customers says they'll pay $25 for it. So we're not walking in there saying, I really want you to take on this new product. Does that sound good? It's, I've got a business opportunity for you. Love and it. So that's been my biggest challenge, and I think that my challenge is going to turn into my biggest success.
Love
but
it.
But we'll see.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Travis.
Awesome.
So, Kevin, you think you'd have less issues with your exterior doors if you did a few of those things we talked about?
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing. I'm not surprised on the one hand. I mean, Travis is always like a thought of earlier, a guy that's looking to solve problems. But, boy, he's got a lot of solutions to commonplace issues that you see with entry door, particularly the exterior door entry system. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a dynamite show for a company like Endura to how do you get to all the different channels, you know, for people
yep.
listening to this from, you know, we specifically designed this for contractors and architects to grow their business. But contractors and architects are pulling from suppliers and manufacturers. And the reality is we're all in this together if you truly care. And a company like Endura is a dynamite company that truly cares about doing things better and different, but they have a hard time getting in front of all the right people or the decision makers that want to go this way or that way. And I think that's what the art and construction can do for all the different partners.
Oh, absolutely.
So what was your biggest takeaway that you didn't know about that something Endura does or Travis brought to the table?
I think really that special T astragal that they have with all the multi-point systems sort of built right into that is pretty unique. And this, the self-adjusting threshold,
that's
I think, is kind of unique.
That
yeah,
self-adjusting
yeah.
threshold is...
it's such a critical, important deal that piece of oak, the screws yep. pop off. It's a never-ending nightmare trying to stain it and keep it clean and all that stuff. Versus this is a piece of composite that literally just adjusts to all the different stuff you have to deal with as far as all the different door bottoms and adjusting, and a wood door, especially all doors that expand and contract, helps adjust that. To me, there's a lot of value in those components.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We'll make sure we've got some extra material in the show notes to address that too, because you're right. That's a real life situation that comes up every day that this helps provide a solution for, which is pretty unique.
So I would say, as a builder and architect, designing the projects and the people executing these projects, take a little bit of time in the whole scale of the critical path and budget in there in your timeline to say weatherization, you know, door thresholds, and have a talk with your customer about that stuff. And I would say do it early and often, because you know what? No one else is talking about that stuff. And how can you be better and different as a builder or an architect than to talk about the stuff, to ask, just ask the question of, have you ever had an issue in the past with your exterior doors leaking?
Well, and the other idea would be, just as a builder yourself, take inventory of all the customer service time, money, and heartache that you've spent on issues. And I will be willing to bet you that there's a lot of those that repeat themselves on that list that you ought to just think a little bit more about in advance to, okay, how can I solve that up front so I don't have to make those callbacks and go through all that pain and agony with the homeowner who's all upset and spend time and effort and money. Let's think about a way to solve it up front quickly, save money, and save time.
Yeah, and ask those questions, get them to understand what you're talking about and know to paint the picture of the value, and then get your customer into a Mountain View Window and Door. We brand this product under our Mountain View Custom Millwork line, where behind the scenes, Mountain View Window and Door doesn't actually hang and compose, but we have all these different critical people that make the Mountain View Custom Millwork line, that we do things better and different through companies like Endura and, you know, all those different product lines, to where we can take that off your back and we just paint the picture and set it up. Tell us how you want to talk price, don't talk price, and have a pre-meeting with your supplier. And the beauty of this setup is you can set this up once and then make it part of your system. And then we can roll that over and over again to make you architects and contractors better and different. That's what this is all about on the Art of Construction.
Yeah, right? And we have quite a few builders that have agreed to that process and have been doing it on a regular basis, and it works real well for them.
Well, I appreciate Travis and all of our industry partners to make Mountain View Window and Door the destination for windows, doors, and hardware. And the Art of Construction continues to peel back the layers on the construction industry to make it that much stronger and look at doing things better and different by different creative paths, like Travis has talked about with what he's doing with his team. And I love manufacturers that are getting more hands-on and getting in the field and really putting themselves in their customer's shoes, because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Thanks for another great show.
We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.